Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn together this morning. I want to dedicate this Divrei Torah first and foremost to a friend and Rebbe of mine, Rav David Hanach Mordechai ben Freida Simcha, for Refuah Shleima. And I want to, you know, now that we had the big last Eish HaTorah landmark on our calendar before Purim, so now we're really close to the big Yontif of Purim, already past the halfway point in the week, going towards this coming Shabbos, one of the most special Shabbos of the year, Shabbos Zachor, the Shabbos where we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek, where we remember the terrible, treacherous, awful attack from that awful kingdom, that awful nation, HaMalek, who was our enemy when we left Mitzrayim, and has continued to be our enemy midor dor, from generation to generation, poking its head up in different ways. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. And we're really on the verge of the Yontif of Purim. For many of us, where we come from, so Purim is a very, very, excuse my language, Purim is a very, very shallow day. It's a day of childishness, it's a day of dressing up. Maybe when we become adolescents, it's a day when we have an excuse to drink alcohol, even though most of the other days of the year we don't need an excuse. On Purim we have an excuse. It's a day of eating, feasting, partying, celebrating. It's a day of, which seems, or in some communities, it's a day of a little bit of craziness. When I began my journey of really intimately getting to know Torah, getting to know Yiddishkeit on a more deep way, Purim opened up from this shallow, very, very seemingly child-oriented day to becoming one of the deepest days of the entire year, if not the deepest day of the entire year, on a Torah level, on a Hashkafa level, on a level of Jewish philosophy and Jewish understanding. And some of the ideas, some of the Divrei Torah that I want to learn together today, hopefully can give each and every one of us one angle of the depth and the unique depth of the Yontif of Purim that maybe we have not encountered in our lives up till that point. To really understand Purim, we just need to understand first one mitzvah, one area of halacha, and that's, as we began with, and that's Amalek. Because when it comes to Purim, the showdown of Purim is between Haman Ha'agagi, and Agag, we know from the days of Shaul HaMelech, Agag was the king of Amalek. We will return to Agag over the course of our learning, but Haman is from the descendants of Amalek, and Purim is one of the main showdowns between the Jewish people and Amalek, and therefore, Chazal Ritakin, that the Shabbos before Purim, the Shabbos before Purim, we have a special mitzvah. It's a very, very special mitzvah, taken very, very seriously in kehilos, in Jewish communities worldwide. That's the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. There's two mitzvahs when it comes to Amalek. I actually gave them both to you on the sheet from the Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch, the beautiful Sefer, which goes through the 613 mitzvahs, drawing them out from the Chumash. The mitzvah number 603, that's the mitzvah found in Parshas Kiseitze, and that's the mitzvah of Lizkor Masha Asa Amalek LiYisrael B'Tzeisim Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did to us. That terrible attack, that terrible cheap shot, that Amalek took on the Jewish people as we were just a brand new born nation coming out of Egypt. And we have to remember that cheap shot that Amalek took. In the bowl, just to read together, in the Sefer HaChinuch, where he says the shorish of the mitzvah, the philosophical and spiritual underpinnings of the mitzvah, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Mishar she ha-mitzvah lateta libeinu shekol ha-meitzar li-Yisrael sanui lifnei Hashem Yisbarach, that anybody who messes with the Jewish people is hated by God. V'chilifi ra'aso v'armas rov nizko tiyem ha-palaso. And to the extent that one acts with evil, with treachery, with deception, with a desire to damage, that will be his downfall, in the future. Kemosh ata motzei ba'amalek, like we find ba'amalek, ki mibesha asa ragdol Yisrael shitchilu la'azikam tzivanu baruchu la'abit zuchra mini'aretz v'l'sharish achra v'ad kala. That we are commanded to totally uproot, to totally remove the memory of Amalek from the face of the earth for all of generations. To never forget what happened, to never forget that awful attack, to never forget what a cheap shot they took. But also we're commanded in mitzvah Tafresh Dalid, mitzvah lahachris zarushel Amalek, the mitzvah of destroying and wiping out the nation of Amalek. To kill every single member of the nation of Amalek, every single one without exceptions, like the Torah tells us, we're going to read this Shabbos, shebichlal zecher hu akol, everyone, every last remnant, every member of Amalek. Amalek represents, both in an actual national sense, also in a spiritual sense, the arch enemy of the Jewish people. We all are familiar with the famous statement of Rashi in Parshas Beshalach that the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, we came out on fire. We came out with a great sense of passion, a great level of excitement, a great hislavus, a great level of vigor. Hashem had just saved us from Egypt, just rescued us from the servitude, from the awful, miserable reality under Pharaoh. And we were so in love and excited to begin this process of building our nation. And Rashi teaches us that Amalek cooled us down. Amalek did something. They got into the kishkas. They got into the heart and soul of the Jewish heart. And they cooled off that fire of excitement, that fire of passion that the Jewish people were developing in the beginning of our process. And because of that, because they cooled us down, that has really, you know, infused some sort of spiritual venom in the Jewish people for all time, and has been very, very damaging in many, many generations. And therefore, we need to never forget what happened, and we are actively commanded to destroy the nation of Amalek. Just on halachic level, once in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when all of the nations were jumbled together, so lahalacha, Chazal teach us that we're not really so clear 100% on an international level who's who and what's what anymore, who's Amalek and who's not Amalek. Therefore, in terms of the actual mitzvah of killing and destroying the nation of Amalek, the poskim guide us that that's a mitzvah that we're, because of the lack of clarity, we're not able to fulfill for the last big chunk of history. But in Yeretz Hashem, when Mashiach comes and restores this international clarity to the world, we will be able to finish this mitzvah once and for all. But certainly on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, what Amalek represents, what Amalek stands for, that has appeared in many nations, many enemies of the Jewish people over time, the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Nazis. In fact, I was just heard on the radio the other day, in the name of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, that he said that the Nazis were a halachic getter of Safek Amalek. And as we know, after the Holocaust, the State of Israel tried very hard to find the main Nazi perpetrators. Very, very strong Yesh Lomar that was a fulfillment of the mitzvah of L'Hachris Zaru Shel Amalek. But now things are going to get interesting, because as we mentioned up till now, Amalek is this terrible, treacherous enemy. The destination of our hatred and our anger, and he who bestowed so much evil and so much negativity on the Jewish people, and we have to destroy him, and we have to never forget what he did to us. And the Rambam paskins this the halacha that Amalek is also one of the nations that we have to kill. However, along with, by the way, along with the seven nations of Canaan, the seven nations of who live in this land that we are obligated to conquer in establishing and settling the land. However, the Rambam says, and now things are about to get interesting. The Rambam says in the very end of Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Malachim Perek Vav, the Rambam says any holy war, what's called in halacha milchemes mitzvah, any milchemes mitzvah, any milchama that we are obligated to do, namely milchama of the war of conquering the land of Israel or the war against Amalek, says the Rambam, ein osin milchama im adam ba'olam ad shekorin lo shalom echad milchemes harishus vechad milchemes mitzvah. Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim and Chumash Devarim. This is a very uniquely Jewish thing, and it's befitting to who we are and what we stand for. Yes, we are commanded to wage war, but when the Jewish people are obligated to wage war, the wars that the Jewish people fight must always begin with offering the prospect of peace. We don't just go in and destroy. First, we offer shalom. We offer them the opportunity to make peace. How does this happen practically? Imishlimu, if they say, fine, we will be peaceful. The kibbul sheva mitzvos, they have to accept the status, they have to accept the halachic status of the non-Jew, means they have to accept to fulfill the seven Noahide laws. Ein horgen mehen neshama v'areihen lemas, they become like citizens. They become like integrated citizens, not Jews, but they've taken upon themselves the status that they're supposed to have, and we don't kill them anymore. And the Rambam goes on. Aval shiva amin va'amalek shelo yishlimu. This is the next halacha. Shelo yishlimu. Ein manich me'am neshama. But these seven nations and Amalek, who did not accept peace, then take out your guns, take out your weapons, your nukes, your nunchucks, whatever you want, whatever your weapon of choice is, and you are halachically obligated to destroy them. Shenemar came tasa l'chol v'chulei. What does that mean? What did that, based on what the Rambam just said, what did that mean? What just changed big time in terms of our war, in terms of our battle against the nation of Amalek? Anybody pick up on it? Aval shiva amimin, the seven nations, ve'amalek and amalek, shelo hishlimu, who did not accept the prospect of peace, eim anichem eim neshama, we don't leave one person alive. Yeah, what's your name?
Yosef.
The
idea is we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, but we also have an obligation to ask them for peace before we destroy them?
That's right. Yosef hit the nail on the head. And in fact, this is the comment that's made by, this is pointed out by the Ravid. The Ravid says that understanding must be a mistake. That must be a mistake because we have to kill Amalek, no ifs, ands, or buts. But the Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Kairo, the great Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, who wrote a beautiful commentary on the Rambam, on the Mishnah Torah, says in the bold in a box, Ela she'efshar liton ba'ad Rabbeinu. Rabbosai, buckle your seatbelts because we're about to set off on a wild ride. Efshar liton ba'ad Rabbeinu, we can claim for Rabbeinu for the Rambam. Vilomar, and we can say, shebichlal hishlimu, that included in the general halachic understanding of accepting peace, hu kabbalah sheva mitzvos, that's the acceptance of the seven mitzvos, shim kiblu aleyam sheva mitzvos, Harei yatsu michlal shiva amin michlal amalek v'harei hem kibbenei noach hakisheirim. Anybody understand what the Kesef Mishnah just said? Says the Kesef Mishnah, up till now we've understood that destroying Amalek requires weapons, requires murder, requires destruction. Says the Kesef Mishnah, maybe not necessarily. Maybe if we offer them peace and they accept peace, and they accept to fulfill the seven mitzvos b'nei noach. They accept, which basically means to totally shed and release their Amalek mentality, their evil, awful, treacherous, disgusting mentality of evil and of hatred. If they shed that, and they accept all of the system of the seven mitzvot in Noach, and they accept the Jewish people as the kingdom in control of this land. Yatzu miklal shiva'am minu miklal amalek. They have exited. They are no longer in the definition of amalek. V'arem kibnei Noach hakshirim. Now they're like good sons of Noach. They're like good citizens of the world. Now that's crazy. That's unbelievable. I learned this Kesef Mishnah from my beloved Rebbe Shlita, and I fell off my chair. Mamish fell off my chair. Because we think of destroying a nation as needing to destroy them. Blood, guts, bombs, air forces, you know, artillery, cannons, whatever you need to use. Says the Kesef Mishnah, explaining the Rambam, we can destroy a Amalek by transforming them, by transforming their mentality, by changing them into a new people, into a new person. This idea is revolutionary. This idea is creative. This idea is maybe even a little dangerous. But Purim is a dangerous time. And we need to be able to get ourselves into the mindset of what can happen on Purim, the great, unbelievable salvation that can happen in the world of Purim through the world view of the salvation of Purim. Let's elaborate on this theme. To begin, one of the most beautiful Gemaras in Shas, in my humble opinion, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yudam and Aleph. Hanu biryoni dav b'shivusi de Rabbi Meir. There were troublemakers, there were ruffians, there were tough guys in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. Vavakam etzarele tuva, and they were making trouble. I'm from Philadelphia. They were making trouble in the neighborhood. If anybody gets the reference. Rabbi Meir couldn't handle these troublemakers, couldn't handle these punks. Rabbi Meir davened that they would all drop dead. They're making trouble. They're up to evil. They're causing problems. And he davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu that they would drop dead. Amar le Beruria de Bisu, his wife, the great tzaddikus, one of the woman stars in the days of Chazal, says, Beruria, my daitcha, what are you doing? Mishum dechsiv, he responded, Mishum dechsiv, says the pasuk in Tilim, Yitamu chataim. He said, the pasuk in Tilim says that sins will be removed from the land. Responds Beruria, miksiv chotim? Does the pasuk say, does David HaMelech say that sinners will be removed from the land? Chataim ksiv. It doesn't say sinners, it says sins. Vod shavim l'seif at the crown. Look at the end of the pasuk. V'rishayim odeinam. And there will be no more evildoers. There will be no more wicked. Kevan ditamu chataim v'rishayim odeinam. When the sins are removed, I think that question mark is problematic, is a mistake. When the sins are removed, then there'll be no evildoers. Ela bayrach me'alayu d'lehadju b'tshuva. You shouldn't daven that they drop dead. You should daven that they do tshuva. V'shay mod einam, and then there will be no more evildoers. Bayrach me'alayu v'hadju b'tshuva. And so was it. Rabbi Meir, instead of davening that they died, he davened that they changed. He davened that they went a transformation. He davened that they stopped misbehaving and they removed this evil spirit from within them. And then there were no more evildoers. Then the evil is gone. Not because they're dead, not because they've been murdered, but because the evil from within themselves is removed. Last year, after learning this topic, I was speaking it over with my Rebbe. And he said, I think that there's a comment by the Vilna Gaon brought down in one of the commentaries on the Siddur that I had the great chus of learning with my beloved Chavrusa, Travis, only a few weeks ago. Every single day, we daven Chanani Kesu, you might close this door. Every single day, when we daven Shemona Esrei, three times every single day, we daven v'lam al shirim al titikva v'chol arusha kirega tovid. We daven for the downfall and destruction of evil. So when we think of that, you know, we think of ISIS, and we think of Iran, and we think of, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah. I don't know if anybody saw the news this morning. There was just an uncovering of a massive plot, a massive whole plan in Syria by the Golan Heights from Hezbollah, from Iran, and it was just uncovered, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem that Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us. Baruch Hashem we have soldiers and an army watching over us. But we daven for the downfall and destruction of evil. So many of us, myself included, when we thought about the meaning of this pasuk, that Iran should just cease to exist, that all evil people should cease to exist. However, the girsa, the exact wording of this bracha was actually in dispute for generations. And this perush that I give you, I'm sorry that it's in a difficult script to read, on the bottom right, from this perush of the Iyun Tefillah, from the Balak Sava Kabbalah of Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, he quotes from the Gra, that the Gra made this change, that in where it's bolded, instead of saying, V'chol ha-rishayim, instead of saying all of the evil people should quickly be removed from reality, like we say, like it's found in many of our siddurim, mechol harisha'a, that all of evil should be removed from amongst us. And if you, I'll read in that Rashi script, in the second line near the end, velo lomar velomar risha'a kam lishono. And he continues, what? Osei Risha. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. V'lo lomar Osei Risha, thank you. V'lo lomar Osei Risha, not the doers. We don't want the destruction of the people. We love people. We're Jews, right? Oiv shalom berodiv shalom, right? Derachet derachinom v'chol nesivosei shalom. We're people of peace. We're people of love. That's the Jewish way. We hate evil, right? We hate evil, right? Ohavei Hashem. What do we say every Shabbos, the Kabbalah Shabbos? Who could sing it with me? Oh yeah, Hashem, sinu ra. We hate evil. We hate evil, and we don't accept it, and we don't allow it to live in our. We don't allow it to be in our midst. But it doesn't say, "Oh, Ave Hashem, sinu rishaim." We don't hate evil people. We love people. We just believe in people and need them. If they're going to be the evil people, we need them to change. We cannot allow them to exist in our world. Therefore, we have to daven with all our heart and souls that the evil be removed from within them. And the Vilna Gaon said, make sure you daven, kol risha, that all the evil be removed. And he continues, v'chein en mispalim brichas kedushas Hashem l'rashanav yom kippurim, v'chol risha'a kula ka'ashan tovim. We don't daven that all the evil people should be removed, like should be gotten rid of, like smoke evaporating. No, the evil should be removed. V'chein... Sofas rov hatfilos al tfilas harisha lo al mapalas harishaim. This is how a Jew davens. We daven for the destruction of evil, not the destruction of the people. Kemo be'aleinu l'shabech al kein nekav alechav v'chuli lahavir gilulim min haaretz v'alim karus yikareisun. Aval ovdeyem, the idol worshippers, we daven for the destruction of the idols and for the idolatries, but not the idol worshippers. We want the idol worshippers to see the truth. We want them to be cleansed, to be refined. We want them to see the light, to see the truth, to return to goodness, and the evil from within them to be removed. V'chein hem mispalin b'tfilas zakah b'yom kippurin, dir matzal v'yiratu b'fanecha b'seichem tirachim al poshe b'chulei v'tein b'libu pachad hadar goncha We daven for sinners, for people who are immersed in evil, immersed in terrible ways, immersed in sin. We daven for them to return wholeheartedly to goodness, to God, to becoming upstanding citizens of the world. And this is a massive. I think for me, when I learned this is life changing, because we believe in people. We believe in people, and ad kidei kach that we believe in maybe all people. That there's an ability that there can be a transformation. Okay, but the ball's in our court. It's up to us as the Jewish people. It's up to us to daven for it. It's up to us to teach the world goodness, to bring about this transformation, and even perhaps Amalek. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. What I gave you on the top left side, this is the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a compilation of the Agadic, more homiletic, more stories, more philosophical, more historical texts from Shas, from the Gemara. And the Gemara, the Ein Yaakov quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin as follows. Tan Rabbanan Na'aman Ger Toshev Haya. If you look at the footnotes at the bottom, you see that these people were the worst of the worst. But the Gemara is teaching us that they converted, they changed. Nebuzradan, who was the general in the days of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, Ger Tzedekaya, he was a righteous convert. Mipnei Banav Shel Sisera, Sisera, who was one of the great generals who came against Jewish people, Lamdu Torah B'Yerushalayim. They had such a transformation, they learned Torah here in Yerushalayim. Maybe it was here in Nisha Torah. Mipnei Banav Shel Sancheirav, the one who was about to destroy the first base of Mikdash. Baruch Hashem, he didn't. Lamdu Torah B'Rabim, they taught Torah publicly. Sancheirav, one of the greatest enemies in the history of the Jewish people, his progeny, his descendants, underwent this transformation that we were just learning about, and were Torah teachers here in Yerushalayim, in public. Uman Hinu, Shmai Vavtali, and the great Tanayim. Buckle your seatbelts, my friends. Says the Gemara. Maybe you're familiar with this Gemara. Mibnei Banav Shel Haman. Maybe there's no single more hated person in Jewish history. Haman's own grandchildren. Haman's own progeny, Lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak. Haman. We know that 10 were killed, but somehow there were progeny that, there were descendants that that survived the Jewish rebellion at the end of Megillas Esther. His own progeny, his own descendants, were yeshiva bachim in B'nai Brak. Maybe you saw them when we visited Punishment earlier this year. Haman's own grandchildren underwent this very transformation that we've been learning about until now. And this, the following words that are in the parentheses are only found in the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, not found in the regular standard Gemara. And the Gemara says, and who was this offspring, this descendant of Amalek, this descendant of Haman, comes from Amalek, that learned Torah and B'nai Brak? Says the Gemara, Umanu, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilach. That's who it was. We'll get back to that in 1 minute. And the Gemara concludes, V'af Mibran Shal Oso Rasha, Bigish Kadosh Baruch Le'achnis Antachas Kanfei Hashchina. Different opinions of who Oso Rasha is. Oso Rasha has different meanings throughout Shas. But one of the most evil people, even God himself desired to bring him under the Kanfei Hashchina into the divine presence. Anybody recognize the name of Shmuel Bar Shilach? Right, maybe that's an unfair question. But I'll tell you, there's a song that many of us have been singing. I heard people singing it just yesterday. That's a teaching of none other than Rav Shmuel Bar Shilach. Says the Gemara in Tainus, near the very end of Tainus, where the Gemara is going through different very, very sad days in the Jewish year, and the Gemara teaches us about some happy days in the Jewish year. Says the Gemara, you'll all recognize the words. You probably just didn't know who taught the words. You may fall off your chair, so just hold on to your friend. Amar of Yehuda b'Reid of Shmuel bar Shilach. Of Yehuda, who is the son of Rav Shmuel bar Shilach. I apologize. It's not his own teaching, but it's his son's teaching. Probably learned it from his father. Mishmei derav. Everybody know these words. Kishem shemisha nichnas av mematin b'simcha misha. Misha nichnas Adar marbin besimcha. Misha nichnas Adar marbin besimcha. When we enter into the month of Adar, we increase in simcha. Who taught us that we need to increase in simcha when the month of Adar begins? Haman's very own grandson. The one who teaches us that this is the greatest time of joy in the entire Jewish year. The one who teaches us and reveals to us the unbelievable, profound level of simcha that we have now is none other than the grandson of Haman himself. Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid, Rabbi Shmuel bar Shilach. He also has two more teachings here in this Gemara in Tainus. Rashi says, why are these teachings brought here? These teachings are brought here, Ivi Rabbi Yehuda la'el, Nakad ba'azil. Since since the Gemara was set a teaching in the name of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda by Breid Rav Shimon by Shilat, so the Gemara brings two more. What are they? So the first one is as follows: Latet lehem acharit v'tikva. What's that? It's a pasuk in Jeremiah, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perachav Tes, that I will give to you an ending and hope. Amar Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav Elu Dekalim Veklei Pishtan. These are palm trees and clothing of flax. Okay. I was just trying to understand this very Gemara yesterday, and something hit me very, very hard. Where are these psukim from? These psukim are from Yirmiyahu Perek Chavtes that say as follows: Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Ki Lefi Milos LeBavel Shivim Shana, 70 years of your time in Babylonia have come to an end. Efkod Eschem Bakimosi Aleichem Mezdivrei Hatov Lashiv Eschem El Hamakom Hazeh. The time has come that I'm going to bring you back. My friends, when did the Purim story happen? Let's just review our history for a second. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, according to the more common count, Rabbi Spiro and many more precise historians say a different date, but according to the Gregorian calendar date that's typically used, 586 before the Common Era. That exile was meant to lasted for 70 years. 70 years, right? 70 years brings us to 516, right? 70 years, that's the 70-year exile. That was foretold before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash even happened. During those 70 years, which began by the Babylonians, where Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, he destroyed Megillas Eicha, Yirmiyahu, the final downfall of Jewish empire here in Yehuda. So it began under the rule of the Babylonians, and then it transferred hands. Learn the Sefer Daniel, and also in the beginning of Esther. Many Mefarshim calculate out the history. But there was a transfer from the Babylonian exile into the exile of Persia and Media, Paras Umadai, which was under the, which and one of the kings, one of the emperors in that time, was Ahasuerus. That 70-year period, Purim happens near the end. In fact, many comment, many essays have been written, that Purim was actually, the Yontif, Purim is actually celebrating the day that the Jewish people finally, once and for all, became able to come back and rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. This pasuk that's quoted, Latez Lehem Achris V'Tikva, that Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat quotes, is referring to that time. That the Babylonian exile, these 70 years have come to an end. And he continues and says, Ki anochi adati es hamachshavos asher anochi choshev. I know what I was thinking, says God. Neum Hashem. Machshavos shalom. And I was had thoughts of peace. V'lo l'ra. Latez Lehem Achris V'Tikva. It was for your good to give you a grand ending and hope. And says Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel B'Shilat, this is the palm trees and the flax clothing that you are going to get in Babylonia during those 70 years, and you'll be able to bring them back to the land of Israel. What's beautiful about this? Because if a person looks at the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash and looks at the Babylonians and looks at that terrible, awful time, so what does it look like? It looks like the most traumatic, most catastrophic moment in Jewish history. It looks like it's so terrible, it looks like it's the end of the Jewish people. But God had a plan. That evil, that terrible, terrible moment, it was all for the sake of, and this is Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat's teaching, it was for the sake of this unbelievable ending that's going to come at the end. Because this is the greatness of this approach. Because where does he come from? He comes from evil. He comes from the most evil. Because he comes from there, he is able to live with this perspective and teach us this perspective that you could experience destruction, but know that God has a plan and there's going to be an unbelievably profound happy ending at the end. He also has one more teaching, but for the sake of time, if anybody wants to go into that, we'll go into that afterwards. It's pointed out in the middle box in that column. It's pointed out by the Imri Emes. The Imri Emes was the third Ger Rebbe, the son of the Sfas Emes. Beautiful sefer on Chumash Nemoadim. Beautiful teachings. And he points out, he brings down from the Arizal, Ita mi bnei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak, the Isa ben Yaakov, Umanu, he points out this exact thing, Umanu Rav Shua bar Shilas, and he quotes from the Arizal that we had the zechus to meet in Tzfas a few short weeks ago, Ita mi ha-Arizal, the Shilat, hu roshei tevos, shivisi, Hashem, lenegdi, tamid. Shilat, it actually happens to be, many Mepharshim say that Shilat is not the father of Rav Shmuel, but many point out that Shilat is actually the mother of Shmuel. Why that is, actually could be understood, and understanding the whole sugya of how a Malik can convert. We'll leave that for now, but Shilat is likely his mother, and the Arizal said, what is her name? Her name is Rosh HaTevos. Her name is an acronym for that famous pasuk that's brought down at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. That's really how we live our entire life. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I will place God in front of me constantly. That's where he comes from. That's his parent. Now, why? Because when a person's living with God, when a person is the son of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, when a person, that's their core, that's where they come from, that they've recognized God in reality, so then they themselves can live with this perspective that anything can be transformed. That anything can be transformed from the most treacherous evil to good, to becoming a yeshiva bachur in Bnei Brak, to teaching us about the greatest simcha of the entire Jewish year. Now the truth of the matter is, this paradigm actually goes back further in history, even to way before the Purim story, even to way before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. In the Haftorah that we're going to read, this very Shabbos, we're going to read about one of the wars between the Jewish people and Amalek. And unfortunately, this was a war that went almost perfectly, but not entirely. What happened? What happened was, Shaul HaMelech was tasked with fighting Amalek, was given the task by Shmuel and Avi to destroy Amalek, and he basically did it except for not all the way. What did he do? What? He left the king alive. And also the cattle. Excellent. Also a bunch of the babbling sheep. Now this is a Pella. How in the world did he make such a grave mistake? He got so close to doing one of the most great mitzvahs, eradicating this nation of evil from the planet. It's brought down by the Me'ash Shiloach, Rav Mordechai Lehner of Ishbitz, one of the most profound of the thinkers in Hasidic tradition. Also by Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, says the same thing. That Shaul HaMelech comes from which tribe? Binyamin. Shaul HaMelech comes from Binyamin. Who else comes from Binyamin? Important for this week. Ish Yehudi Ayah B'Shushan U'Shmo. Mordechai bin Yair bin Kish, Ish Yemini. Mordechai also has this same inyan. What's this inyan? So the Me'ash Shiloach teaches that there were, as we learned in Parshat Tzava a few weeks ago, the Me'ash Shiloach teaches that there were 12 stones on the Choshen Mishpat, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And each stone correlated to one of the 12 tribes. One of the stones is called the Yashvei, and the Yashvei correlated to this tribe, the tribe of Binyamin. And says the Me'ash Shiloach, in the bracha that's given to Binyamin, Binyamin Zev Yitariv. That Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin, is a Zev, is a wolf, who bites, who chews, who clamps his jaws down on something. Why? Says the Me'ash Shiloach, because Binyamin was, his tribal portion was in this very area. In fact, the Gemara goes at the border between Binyamin and Yehuda, went over the Harabayas, right over the Mizbeach. And his stone is called the Yashveh. And what's the word of Yashveh? Yashveh can be broken down into Yesh Peh, that he has a mouth. And what does a fox, use its mouth for? Lachtofu lekabel mimakomus arechokim biyoser umachnis zos lekedusha. He'll run far distances, find that carcass, find something to bite its teeth in, and bring it all the way back. Why? Listen close. Bigne Shishavi, Binyamin Omer Ala Sefer, Vichol Davar Tov, Venitus Kadu Shiroa, Bein Akum, Machnisa Likidusha. Because Binyamin is willing to be like this wolf, to go out to far distances, find something good out there in that dark world, and bring it back. To find something in the world of Tuma, in the world of the profane, in the world of evil, and bite its teeth and bring it back home into the realm of Kedusha. And therefore the bracha that Moshe gave Binyamin was Ben Ksefa of Shachim. Achen Hashem Yisbarach Tamid Choshev Machshavos Levil Tehidach Imenu Nidach. And we need people like this, because goodness sometimes ends up in the side of evil. Ukemoshe Matzinu Sheshaul Richem Alagag. Who comes from this tribe? Binyamin Shaul HaMelech. And he had mercy and compassion on the king of Amalek Agag. Why? Mipnei Sha'amar Oili Shem Yichlezari. Because there was a nervousness that his zera, that his progeny will end. But Shmuel HaNavi said, this is a terrible sin you're doing. It's a terrible sin you're doing, keeping him alive. But many, many years later, that Shaul HaMelech kept Agag alive, it ended up for the good. Like the Gemara in Gittin says, Mibnei banav shalom and lamdu Torah b'bnei brak. V'nizbar b'zeh kavanas shol shezeh haya kavanas olahotzi atol v'kedusha shenimtza b'agag yishol oya mibnyamin v'lachim nikra zeh yitari. Shaul HaMelech saw much, much further than Shmuel HaNavi was able to. He saw, Shmuel HaNavi saw Haman, and he saw Amalek, he saw the evil, he saw the terrible. But Shaul HaMelech kept him alive. Why? Because you know what ends up happening from the grandchildren of Agag himself? They become yeshiva bachrim. They turn it around. They undergo the most unbelievable transformation that a human being can possibly go. Going from Amalek, from the evil of the evil, to becoming B'nai Torah, to becoming people of God. Shaul HaMelech was able to see that. And he saw that spark that could be still transformed. And Rav Kook says a beautiful line just to finish up this idea. Says Rav Kook, Mira sa'ava shu b'nishma sa tzaddikim, the amount of love that's found in the souls of tzaddikim, of righteous people, he kolelas as kol habruim kulam. This encompasses all creations. Veina motzia min hakal shum davar b'lo am b'lo lashon. Nothing is out of the context. Nothing is lost. Nothing is too far out. Va'afilu amalek einu nimcha ki mitachas hashamayim. That even amalek is not completely removed. Is not completely destroyed. Only mitachas hashamayim. A diuk in the pasuk that we're going to lay in this Shabbos from under the heavens. Aval yedea zikuch. But if they're refined and they're purified, mis'aluhu l'sherish hatov, they can be restored to their a root of goodness. Asherhu me'al hashamayim, which is above, which is in a spiritual reality above this reality that we see. It's late. What time is it? It's very late. What?
10:10.
All right, this is fine. And everybody, take a breath for a second. Okay. A little bit more. Switch to the next side. This is the Indian of Purim. This is Purim. This is Purim. What's the pasuk that we say on Purim? The title of the entire shir? V'nahafachu asher yishlatu la'yehudim heima b'soneyem. The Yeshua, the salvation, the victory of Purim is fundamentally different than any other salvation, any other celebration that we celebrate the entire year, or really the entirety of Jewish history. In Pesach, we celebrate the destruction and downfall of Mitzrayim. And in fact, maybe we could even Mosif, that we don't say Hallel for the majority of Pesach, because why don't we say Hallel for a bunch of reasons brought down? But why don't we say Hallel for the end of Pesach? It's a pella, right? We sing Shir HaSayam on the seventh day of Pesach. We sing the song of the sea, but the angels said, "Masiyada." Hashem said to the angels, "Masiyadi tovim biyam atem amim shira." My creations, my creatures are drowning in the sea, and you're singing. So we don't say hallel because it was a little sad to us, which is crazy. A person in God's eyes, it wasn't complete joy because the Egyptians were drowning at the sea. Well, that's crazy. The Egyptians were persecuting and killing and torturing and enslaving the Jewish people for 200 years, maybe 400 years. And we can't celebrate? Perhaps we could say, why can't there be a complete celebration? Why can't we say a Halal Shalem on Pesach? Because with the downfall of Mitzrayim, perhaps some potential of some good that could have maybe happened, that was lost. That was lost. And throughout all, when we come into Eretz Yisrael, what do? The kibush, the conquest led by Yehoshua ben Nun, right? The destruction of the Sheva Amim. The destruction of Avodah Zarah, the destruction of unfortunately, it wasn't ever completely done. That's why if you learn Sefer Shoftim, problems keep arising over and over and over again, okay? But on Purim, it wasn't only the destruction of our enemies. It wasn't only that we defeated them. Something happened in the story of Purim and Megillas Esther that actually repeats itself multiple times, and we'll see a few examples, that it wasn't just we beat the bad guys, let's celebrate. The whole story is indicating and pointing to this yisod, to this motif, to this concept, that things are transforming. Things are being mitapech. The victory came as a result of a fundamental transformation, or multiple fundamental transformations throughout the story. And I love to say, next week in Meretz Hashem, in the Yantav of Purim, 1 week from tomorrow night, so we're going to read, it's the only time where we have a Megillah that we read it twice. Like the Gemara Megillah tells us on the top of the top right side, we have to read the Megillah twice. We have to read the Megillah once in the nighttime, and we have to read the Megillah again in the daytime. Lahavdil, back in once upon a time when there used to be something called movies, so there were these movies that, there's some movies that were made backwards from beginning to end, or there's some movies that were so nuanced with like a little knach that like, you don't realize it until the very, very end of the movie, and then you watch it a second time. Anybody ever had this? There's famous movies, I don't want to mention which ones, that like have like things that happen in them that end up like being like the most important thing that happened, but you didn't realize it at the time, you only realize the very, very end of the story. So, but you watch it a second time, and that like jumps out to you, whoa! Now I understand that little thing that he had to go there, and that had to meet them, and that caused that to happen. We have to read Megillas Esther twice, Lahavdil, from the movies. Why? Because Megillas Esther, when you read it the first time, and you're at the edge of your seat, and the Jews are signed, sealed, and delivered to be destroyed, to be wiped out, it's unbelievably scary and traumatic. Oh, hey, what's going to be? And then Baruch Hashem, Yeshua comes, and then you read that. When's that reading? When's that first reading? That first reading is in the what? Bob? It's in the nighttime. What's the nighttime? The nighttime is a time of darkness. The time when everything looks scary, looks full of despair. Yeush, it's going to be terrible. What's going to be? And we're surrounded by this darkness, and the story is really bad. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Things turn around, and we become saved. And then Lishnosa Bayom, but we have to read it a second time in the daylight. You know what happens when you read it a second time in the daylight? If I can make a personal recommendation, you should even do it kivastikin. You should hear it as early as possible, daven as early as possible in Purim. We'll talk about that in Meretz Hashem. You know what happens when you read it in the daylight with the light, with the clarity, when the sun is shining? You know what happens when you read every single detail in the light? Kivaldik, it's not scary anymore because I know that this detail is going to be part of the salvation, and this detail is going to be part of the good. This detail is going to be transformed to be good. Let's see some of those things. I know I'm giving it away. You're not going to be able to really feel it on Purim, but actually you will be if we do it. Here's five examples. First of all, how does the Megillah begin with? It begins with a party. And the party happened to be like the worst possible thing for the Jewish people. Says the Gemara in Megillah, why did the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed? Because the Jewish people took part in that party. That party was the cause for our downfall. That party was the cause for the gzeira, the decree made against Jewish people for us to be destroyed. What happens at the end of the Megillah? What's the halacha that's established by Mordechai and Esther, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola? Biyom shlos asar l'chodesh ha'adar v'nech ba'ar ba'asar bo. The asar also yom mishtev simcha. That same thing that was the tool for our destruction, that was the reason why we were sentenced to be destroyed, That same thing is what we're doing, which is ludicrous, no? That we were partying with Achashverosh, we were partying with the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, we were partying and it was not a good party, it was a terrible party, and you know how we celebrate Purim? We party. You know why? Because Purim is teaching us to transform that very, very same thing, which was the Heichi Timtza, which gave the possibility, which brought about our possible the possibility for our destruction. Purim is telling us transform that into Kedusha. Purim is telling us that right there can be the opportunity for the greatest Kirv El Hashem, the greatest closeness to Hashem. Example number two. The date. What was the date of the supposed to be the destruction of Purim? So Haman got very, very excited. Came in Shenafel Pur, Haman drew a ladder, and he saw that the lottery fell b'chodesh Adar. Samach Simcha Gedol, Haman got very excited. Amar, Nafali Pur, B'reach Shemez Bo Moshe. Haman saw that this is a terrible time for the Jewish people. It's a yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a time when we lost our Roi Neman. It's a time when we lost the greatest Jew of all time. The one who gave us the Torah, the one who led us, the one who inspired us. Oh, that's a bad time for the Jewish people. But he didn't realize that which was the month of his death was also the month of his birth. In fact, it's the same day. Like tzaddikim teach us that tzaddikim it's a sign of a very, very special person when they leave this world on their birthday, as happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning that day which seemed to be a sign against us ends up being a great sign for our Yeshua. Example number three. Achashverosh has this idea. Hopefully, you all remember from the story of the Megillah. Achashverosh has this idea that he wants to honor this person who did for him this great deed. Who did for him this great deed? Mordechai, right? Mordechai told him about the story of Bigtav Teresa, so he wanted to kill him. And he calls in Haman and he says, Haman, what should I do for this person who I want to honor? Haman's so excited. Haman says, It's gotta be me. Ah, you know what you should do? You should manage to deck him out. Give him all of the, I don't know if in the lingo, give him all the bling bling. Give him the cape. Give him the crown. He ends up doesn't say the crown the second time. Give him the all the royal garments. Put him on the royal horse. Bring him around the city and say, this is the man that the king wants to honor. And Haman is pumped. It's going to be me. It's going to be Givaldik. What ends up happening? Haman says, great. Do that for Mordechai. And Haman's like, huh? What? Mordechai? But I hate Mordechai. And Achashverosh says, yeah, Mordechai, he's the one. And the whole thing that Haman gets is very, very excited, the whole thing ends up being for his detriment. And can't say the story without the unbelievable Gemara in Megillah, that what ends up happening, says the Gemara in Megillah, Dafta Zion, that Haman ends up having to lead Mordechai around the street, saying, this is what happens to the person that the king wants to honor. And Haman's daughter is watching off the top roof of their apartment building. And she says, ah, that's hilarious. Mordechai is leading my father around the city. She got it backwards. And she takes her bedpan, she takes her atzitza, full of schmutz, full of the bathroom. They didn't have indoor plumbing back then. She takes her indoor plumbing and she throws it onto who she thought was Mordechai. She looks down and she realizes, uh-oh, I just threw my toilet on top of my father. And what happens? Nafla mi'igra la'ara mesa. She ends up falling off the roof out of unbelievable shame because she just threw her refuse on her own father's head when she thought it was Mordechai's head. And that one moment, which was about to be, in Haman's eyes, his great victory parade, ends up being the beginning of his total downfall. And the whole thing is transformed. And obviously, we know that Haman himself built a gallows in the advice of his wife Zeresh and his friends. Asu Eitzka Voya Chamishim Amah, make a 50 amos high gallows and hang Mordechai on it because he was so angry at him. What ends up happening with that very gallows? Says the pasuk Vayislo as Haman Ala Eitzah Sharehichin Mordechai. That very gallows that Haman prepared for hanging Mordechai, he himself becomes hung on that gallows. Totally flipped up on its head. And lastly, this one's a little bit nuanced, but the Gezerah originally, again, for the destruction of the Jewish people, how did it go down? Letters were sent out by the scribes of Achashverosh that on the 14th of Nisan, the 14th of Adar, 12 months later, the Jewish, you could kill all the Jews. And how, and Ahasuerus ends up saying, well, when he ends up giving into, when he understands what happened, and he tells Esther, wow, the gzera will be, the decree will be annulled. Ahasuerus says to Esther, yeah, but I can't undo those letters, because that will show my weakness. What should you do? You should send new letters. And the Malbim says, unbelievably, what did these new letters do? These new letters made a deal. These new letters made a linguistic nuance, found a linguistic nuance in the first letters and changed the first letters from that the Jews can be killed to the Jews can now kill all anybody who tries to kill them. Meaning the first letters, which were the letters of the decree against Klal Yisrael, the second letters retroactively transformed those first letters, which were the letters of our destruction, into the letters that we can defend ourselves and defeat anybody who tries to stand up against us. As always, like the Malbim in Megillas Esther, Perek Ches. This is the Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is showing us this inyan of Nahapochu, is showing us this inyan of totally transforming, totally switching up on its head that which looked terrible, that which looked awful, that which looked like it was despair for our people, ends up being the kli, the vessel for our salvation, and that's the unique and profound celebration of Purim. That itself, which looked so painful and so traumatic and so treacherous, ends up becoming the cause for our celebration, and even the way in which we celebrate and the way in which we use this day as an unbelievable day of Avodas Hashem, which was a day that was destined, which was seemingly destined to be a day of pain and suffering, ends up being a day and a day of the most profound closeness that Kadosh Baruch Hu, where he showed us that I love you. And that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos that we are Mekabel Torah on Purim. Why? Rashi says, Mi ahavas hanei shenasalem. Because we love this miracle. This miracle, and it's pointed out by many of the tzaddikim, the Kedushas Levi points this out, that doesn't say we love the Kriyas Yamsuf. It doesn't say we love the Anani HaKavod and the Bear Miriam and the Man. It doesn't say we loved Shemesh B'Givon Dom. But we love the miracle of Purim. You know why? Because the miracle of Purim shows us something fundamentally different than every other miracle. The miracle of Purim shows us that reality, even that which seems so painful, so terrible, so awful, that itself can be transformed, that itself can be totally turned up on its head, and can itself be our Yeshua. Just to finish, two quotes from two of the tzaddikim who revealed this inyan from the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. I'll just quote one from the Kedushas Levi in his last essay on Purim. This is the Kedushas Levi in the Kedusha Revias to Purim. We'll finish with this. V'od gadla hanes to Purim. It's in the box in the middle of the last column. Shekol advarim sha'asa Haman. That all the things that Haman did, the kavanaso haya l'ras Yisrael, and all of his intentions were for the evil, the detriment of the Jewish people. V'haya hakol l'tovas Yisrael. But it ends up that all of those things become for the good of the Jewish people. Asher asa ha'etz l'tlos, asher yatz l'arugz vashti, v'zahaya kol l'tov Yisrael. Everything that seems so bad and so painful ends up being for the good of Jewish people. Kemo shisa b'tanet ve'eliyahu, l'tovasi nishba ragli parasi. That it ends up being for my good that the foot of my cow broke. And we all know the famous Gemara in the end of Brachos by Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva said, kol man David rachmano l'tav avid. It's all for the good, even though it looks so difficult at that time. It's all for the good. And it becomes revealed that it's all for the good. Mizei yichashov, Rabosai, please take this with you. Come Purim, you should think. Shebeim yavola adam ezera, that if anything bad, chashom, I bless you, that nothing bad should ever happen to any of you, any of us, anybody ever. But if it should, yachshov lo, you should think, shakol hulatova, it's all for the good. Shetzarich adam lachshov shekol ha'maoros. A person has to know that all events and everything that happens, ba min habori baruch hu, it's all coming from God. V'im kein, and if this is so, b'vadi utov, it's for sure good. Ki hu hamel chatov, because God is the good king. B'vadi lo yavu shum ra menu, nothing evil comes from God. V'zehu ha'aras Purim, and this is the great inspiration, this is the great light that's shining through the world in Purim. Shemikol ha'ros, that from all of the evils, shel haman batovos, good things came out of them. Uvamakom achar nevar ze ba'orach v'hinei, zegarim shiyadu shakol me'abor, and this causes us to know and to live our whole lives that everything is from Hashem. And he's the good king. Another reason why this happened is because the world was rectified, the world was cleansed. After a person meditates and really takes this idea to heart, that which seems like evil, and that which seems like potential pain and suffering, or even is pain and suffering, that it will be transformed to good, kimo Haman, like Haman himself, shemirasu b'nei Mordechai v'esther napach l'tov, that his evil itself was transformed to the good, mezakich bazes ha-machshava, this can cleanse your mind, shelo yavo alav shum ra, a person will be able to live in a way that evil doesn't exist anymore. And even if a person should encounter something which for a moment seems evil, when a person can say, this must be good, there must be a spark of goodness from in this. If Shmuel Bar Shilah can come from Haman himself, from Agag, and teach us, it will be transformed to good. And don't be scared of anything. From a bad thing that I hear, I won't be scared. When a person internalizes this in a real way, because this is what the Torah is teaching us, and this is what the Torah is giving us the strength and the inspiration to be able to live it and to be able to do in our lives, to truly recognize that even the greatest evils can be transformed into good. And he will conclude, says the Kedushas Levi, "Vezel chayiv inish l'besumer b'puria ad lo yada." And this is the reason why in Purim, what are we doing? We're intoxicating ourselves. What do we do when we intoxicate? What do we do when we intoxicate ourselves? Mechuyiv lis'anik baras Purim shomer she'enenu ba'olam klal shumra. When we intoxicate ourselves, our intellect, which so often is showing us that's bad and that's bad and that's bad and that's evil and that's wrong, but when we remove ourselves from our intellect, then we're no longer able to see the evils of this world. Shabein hadvarim raim shu bechlal aror haman. Right? Ad delo yada me aror haman lebarach Mordechai. When you can't tell the difference between the evil of Haman and the blessed of Mordechai. Ubein hadvarim atovim. Or you can't tell the difference between those things which are so evil. Or those things which are so good and so beautiful. Shu bechlal barach Mordechai. Why? Hu hakol tov. Because in essence, everything is good. And lemaisa, we can't really see that reality with our eyes on a daily basis nowadays. Because you read the newspaper and you see this anti-Semitism and you see this crime and this evil and this plot and this, and it seems to us in a revealed way, it seems like evil. So one day a year, the Torah is telling us, Adelo yada, get to a point where you're not functioning, you're not seeing with your normal daily eyes, but rather you're able to get above that and see HaKol Tov. Vein Shum Rab Olam Klal. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got the whole thing figured out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaMelech HaTov, that by definition there is no Rab. That all things, right? If they seem evil, they are good. There really is no evil when a person is able to see and able to feel on this level. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the inspiration and the ability to live with this Torah, and to be, most importantly, to be conduits of this Torah to the world, to be that transformation that the world needs. Unfortunately, on the revealed level, there's still a lot of evil out there, a lot of revealed evil out there. But if we fill ourselves up with Elokus, with godliness, with Torah, with living with Shilas, Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, then we can bring that light to the world, to shine that light, to follow in the footsteps of the great Rabbi Meir and the great Buria who taught us, don't daven for the chotim to fall away, daven for the chataim, daven for the evil to be washed away, and then Mirtz Hashem will see the ultimate rectification of reality, we'll see all evil wiped away, and the goodness of people shine forth, and Mirtz Hashem and the Zechus of the Yeshua of this coming Purim, will be able to see this once and for all. B'mehir B'Yameinu, Amen.